It's Mail It In Friday.
I called in sick. I don't work in the rain.
Well, I kind of mailed that in.
You can't deliver mail.
Why not?
Yeah, whatever.
I guess you're right. It's just walking around and putting it in the boxes.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Hour 2, Mail It In Friday. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Ray Ferraro, our hockey analyst, will join us here in a moment. Get back into Freddie Anderson's post-game comments from last night. The Leafs, familiar territory, 2-0 lead going into the third. They have to hold on for dear life just to get a point. 18 seconds into overtime, Sean Couturier, who was a defensive centerman for like 6 years, all of a sudden might win the Rockets.
That was his 21st last
He's on
night?
Pace for like 45 goals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, where did this come from? He was a first-round pick, top 10 pick, good player. But all of a sudden, Sean Couturier is going to score 45?
He's a good player. He is a good player. But
45?
No, but here's the thing, Brian. You said, careful sometimes when you judge people, because he's having a year where everything he touches goes in the net. You know who's having that as well? Go and look at Nate McKinnon's goals last night. He's just shooting it at the net. It's going through the goalies now. Like,
he's
no joke.
He's taking wristers just inside the blue line
and
that are going five-hole every game.
Now, Austin Matthews scored 40. If you go back and look at some of his goals, like he's got a great release. He's a pure goal scorer. That's not no slight on him. But he had a lot of things go his way last year as far as
catching goaltender. Well, if you score 40, you need some breaks.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe there's five or six there that you know, he surprises a goalie or catches a goalie. He's you have a year when everything, and that's Couturier's having that. McKinnon's had that. I don't know how many times I've watched Colorado play, and I'm like, that's a dead play. All of a sudden, he wrists it at the net. It's in the net. Like, he's having one of those years where it's just, he can do no wrong. And you know who else can do no wrong on that team? Your boy Johnny Burns.
They won again last night.
Eight in a row.
They won again last night.
I don't think they're that good of a team, personally.
Colorado? They're a top-heavy team. That top line's
very good.
You know
what? I don't even care if they don't get in. That turnaround, I give that coach a lot of credit because he was one of those coaches last year. I looked at it, and I'm like, just get rid of this. This is the next coming of what's-his-nuts in Buffalo.
Ron Rolston.
Ronnie Rolston with the gardening gloves. You can't coach in the NHL. But he's done a hell of a job.
But that's not the case, though. I know Jared. He's had success everywhere he went.
I know, but the way things went last year, Jamie,
right.
You know how guys talk. They're like, really, are we going to go back with this guy behind the bench?
It would have been easy, but I think they wrote it out. And it gets back to what you've said and said all along, oh, the NHL has become a goaltender league like the NFL is a quarterback league. Varlamov, I think, missed 40 games last year. Quick missed 59. Crawford's missing a bunch in Chicago. You see in them twirl. Like, you need a good starting goaltender. Frederick Anderson.
That's where Freddie Anderson comes in. And he was vocal post-game last night. He was not happy about the Leafs melting down in the third. And he's seen this script write itself many times right in front of him.
Yeah.
And this is also a guy, you know, we keep talking about contracts and what players are trying to achieve and Freddie Anderson's locked in. He knows what he's getting, and he's being paid handsomely. You can't come back to the table and say, actually, I want to restructure my deal.
No.
But I'd say he's top five Vezina right now.
Yes, for sure.
So he's also sitting there saying a couple of blown losses or blown wins could cost him at the end of the year. Like, I don't think he's thinking of that in the moment.
No.
Like, I don't think he's waiting for the media to come in and say, there we go, another loss for me. That's going to hurt me when I'm battling with Vasilevsky and Hellebuck come next June in Vegas. But it wouldn't shock me if it's popped into his mind at some point. Hey, I got a good chance at actually being nominated for an award.
And
his team has to help him at some point.
You're right. But that's where you hope that the people who are voting just don't go, well, you know, it's wins and losses and, like, I know wins factor in for sure, but you also have to look at the whole body of work. We did a board the other day where he's played, I think, close to first in minutes, first in shots against, first in saves. Like, this guy's put his work in so far, and, you know, he's earning himself to get into the Vezina conversation through his body of work.
Well, he certainly was not happy with Mitch Marner early in the third period where he was careless and he was soft and Nolan Patrick took advantage of it. And that's two games in a row where Marner has been careless and soft defensively, and it's cost his team a goal.
Yeah.
And it cost Freddie Anderson a goal against. And he was commenting indirectly about that, but Freddie really lit up that first power play unit who were on the ice and turned the puck over and gave up a two-on-one, shorthanded, led to Wayne Simmonds tying it up. He was asked about it after the game. Here's what Freddie Anderson said.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys on the bench, too, pretty frustrated not being on the power play and seeing that kind of effort. I think we got to look each other in the eyes here and determine where we want to go from here.
Here's Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. What do you make of Anderson's comments?
I don't love when guys that don't have anything to do with another group start criticizing them publicly, to be honest with you. Like, I can get why he's not very happy, and, you know, I get it, but I don't like forwards talking about how that's a goalie should stop. I don't like a guy that plays on the power play criticizing the penalty killers. Like, everybody got to do their own job. You know, I think you've got to be pretty careful that you don't drive a stake into the middle of the room by doing stuff like that.
Yeah, we were talking about in the last hour, like, O wasn't happy about it because, I mean, I'll let you explain. Oh, I'm fine with it once. That's it. Like, kind of you give a guy pass because maybe it's something that the blood has been boiling, and he may have said something in the room in past games or been
that's
frustrated.
Where I, Jamie,
and plus,
that's
he's
where
a quiet
I
guy,
to go. I think there's 10 minutes after a game where the door closes, where if you have an issue with a teammate, you can have a heated discussion, and it can be you can air out dirty laundry and say, you know what, Mitch Marner, you have to be better for this team to be the team we want to be, blah, 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 Jake Gardner, William Nylander, whatever, and then it's all over with. And there was a time when Frederick Anderson got here where he sucked, and nobody said boo about it. So now you want to be a hero and call people out. I don't like it.
To the last point of that, for me, is that, so let's say next game he gives up a 60-footer and it goes through his legs. Do you want somebody to come out come out after and say, yeah, we win that game if he stops that muffin?
Yeah. It's a spicy meatball.
You just can't do it. In my opinion, you can't do it. I get he's frustrated, and it was a crappy way that they lost. They basically gifted the game back, and I get it. I've been frustrated. I've been frustrated with teammates. I'm sure teammates have been really frustrated with me. But I'm just, what O says is in my mind is right. Like that. You get it out, you fight it out in the room, and then it's done. And there's no need to bring any extra stuff into your room, which is exactly what he's done.
Market recognition, Ray, too. I mean, when you're in Toronto, you know you're just feeding
the beast,
and it's like, don't do it.
It's already, is it not tough enough?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, like, it's already, you know, things aren't going so well. You can see and hear people are starting to get a little restless. So it's probably not the best time to be throwing grenades into the middle of the room. And that's kind of, like, I know I wouldn't be very happy if I was on that first power play unit. I'm pretty sure that we're not very good right now. You know, I'm on it. I'm well aware that we don't score very much right now, and that we've hurt our team a little bit the last little while. Like, I don't need the goalie telling me that I've got to do my job better. I'm well aware of that. And if the coach wants to criticize me in public, well, he gets to do that. I don't love that either, but he gets to do that. Somebody else on the team, in particular somebody that's got nothing to do with that, shouldn't. Like, if player A wants to criticize player B on the same power play group, go ahead, have at it. Because you're all out there, and he screwed up, I screwed up, that's the way it goes, but not this.
Yeah, I think most athletes would have the same response that the three of you have. I would expect current players to say it. I get it. I appreciate the candor because we never get it out of this team. I think the fact that he's actually willing to say anything is borderline shocking, because the way Lou and Babcock have been operating and forcing the players to buy into that operation for 2-3 years now, this is unprecedented in many ways. And I think what he's actually pointing to is probably valid in many ways, but regardless of whether or not we like him saying it publicly or not, it's out there. So I think really the conversation to be had is, who's he talking to? And this is what we got into in the previous hour. I think the initial reaction from most was, okay, he's directing that at Kadri, Bozak, Van Riemsdyk, Marner, Riley, the five players on the ice that led to the 2-on-1. I think he's directing it towards Babcock. I think the fact that he said there were guys on the bench that, yeah, they want to be out there on the ice right now, but they're not, blah, 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 that's a shot at the coach. And that's a shot, I think, using the material that a lot of people in this market have been using for quite some time, that would suggest that Matthews should be on the first power play. Or he's speaking on behalf of players on the bench.
That, Brian, if he's getting into that, and we don't know because now we're being mind readers, but if he's getting into that, then they're about 2 inches from an implosion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can be pissed at the coach if you want, but you can't try and coach. You got enough problems. Stop the puck. You know, like, he's had a fabulous year. And yes, maybe that buys him some leeway with people about whether he can be critical or not, but you cannot be coaching the team. I don't even want to speculate, because to me that has opened up a door that is really, really dangerous.
And another thing we were mentioning, and that's the one thing, it can come back to bite you if his play just levels off, right? If his play, because he's been outstanding, Frederik Andersen has been amazing for this team, but now all eyes, O-Dog said, Saturday night, if he struggles, now all of a sudden, you know, you start to bring things on yourself. I don't think it was done from a malicious place. That's why, you know, in listening to it last night, like, he's not, I think there was some raw emotion in it, and he probably woke up today and realized, you know what, I've opened a can of worms here. Like, it probably came from a competitive nature place.
But isn't that a good thing? Like, I understand publicly you don't want it,
right?
But behind the scenes, because they're dealing with a situation, and this is also something we continue to accept and acknowledge, even though they blew a point last night, they move further into a playoff spot.
Right.
The teams behind them are not going to kick them in the ass. They're not good enough.
Right.
So if they don't do it internally, how are they going to get a spark? Because they need a spark. Something has
now,
to happen.
Okay, but so Brian, I played with Noodles. I'm sure there were times he stood back there and went, that is a stupid slashing penalty again, because I took a lot of them. And I'm sure he went, man, like, stop it. Like, you're killing us. But I can't imagine for a second that Jamie would have said anything publicly to, and I wouldn't have said anything when he whiffed on a 50-footer. I would have never said, oh, man, come on. Like, if he stops that, of course we're going to win. Like, that, you can't do it. I just disagree with critiquing anybody else in public, because you guys are right, man. If he stinks tomorrow, and it's possible because he's been so brilliant for so long. If it's just normal, it's going to look bad. He's going to make it harder on himself, and there's no need to do that.
Well, there's no denying that the bullets, and that's why playing to a crowd. I don't think he was playing to a crowd. I don't think he was doing this for the benefit of the fans who are freaking out. But the fans will turn on you in a heartbeat. If he goes out there and he's a plug tomorrow night, people will be like, oh, great. Where the hell was that stop?
Right.
Like, you can't be doing it to benefit what the outside noise is suggesting. But as we said earlier, he is in a position of strength. Again, whether you like it or not, he's been their best player
for
2.5 months. And just because McElhinney ain't playing.
Though, Brian, so what happens if he poops the bed tomorrow, and then after the game somebody says in the room, hey, Freddie, maybe next time keep your mouth shut and stop the puck. How does that help the program?
Probably wouldn't. Wouldn't even shock me
that's
if it happened.
That's why he should keep his mouth shut and just stop the puck.
Yeah.
At least publicly. Do it behind the door. Absolutely. Say, hey, guys, seriously. It's a joke out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only thing. And I think it's we've all been in rooms where, and like Freddie Andersen, by all accounts, seems like a quiet guy. You know, Ray, I'm sure you played with quiet leaders. And once a year, all of a sudden, you see them maybe have the wires crossed and they stand up and say something. like when Grant Fear never said anything, but one time he stood up and said something in the room, everyone listened because it was so out of the norm for him.
It was a lightning bolt, wasn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Kiprusoff, same thing. Luongo, same thing for me. I'm just talking the goalies. But that's where it's in the room. It's not in front of the cameras.
Okay,
I'm not saying he's...
explain to me, who hasn't been in the NHL room, and the audience who have not been in the NHL room, the limit in which he can speak to what happened on the power play unit. Because as you guys are saying, he's never been on a power play. He's never.
You mean publicly?
No, behind closed doors.
Oh, he can say whatever he wants. That's
he can
the
say,
thing.
If you're going to go out there on the power play, you better work your ass off and don't leave the defenseman and me hung out to dry. So if you're going on the power play, don't think it's a vacation, because that's the number one rule of the power play. It's not a vacation. You got to work extra hard.
But so, he can so say you would, that all in the dressing room.
So that's fine. I'm honestly asking. I'm not being a smartass.
No.
Because I could see some players being like, oh, really, Freddie? You've been high man on the power play before?
No, but
why don't you shut up and go sit
in
the corner?
But he's like, I'm the guy bailing your ass out when you turn that puck over. So he has the right to say it, and I have no problem with him saying it. What Ray and O are saying is don't say it publicly, like don't air dirty laundry outside that dressing room. And Babs basically said that as well today.
Well, and here's the other thing. I think people would be surprised at how easy it is for players to tell each other to go, you know what, and then go for dinner that night.
Yeah.
Like, it's just part. It's part of the game. It's part of the parcel, man. You get. I literally got in a fight with Brad Shaw, who was one of my best friends with the Whalers at practice. And I came home, and my wife said, "Oh yeah, the Shaws are coming for dinner tonight." I was like, "Oh, fantastic!" Like, could you imagine that in the real world?
Yeah.
But for us, it was like, "Oh well, it's something stupid that happened at practice. That's the way it goes." Freddie can say whatever he wants behind the door. He's part of the team, man. He's a big part of the team. And some guys are more part of the team, if you will, but he's more than welcome to tease somebody up. You just got to do your job. There's that great Bill Belichick quote we've seen the last couple of weeks, do your job. Do your job. That's it. You can say whatever you want. You're in this thing together. But now you've turned over a rock that doesn't need to be turned over.
Well, and again, I think it's credit to the way Babcock and Lamoriello have built this program where nothing ever does get out. Nothing gets out. Maybe these conversations have happened many times behind the scenes. I'd be shocked if it didn't. But it's never gotten to a point that I can recall that was this explosive. And this wasn't like outrageous, but it was still more honesty and candor than we're used to hearing, which also I think leads to a reaction.
We get nothing from them. Right. Nothing.
But you don't get anything from any of the players because they're all like, I'm not going to do this because Babcock's going to freak out on me.
I'll predict this, and Ray and O can weigh in on this. In the next couple years, you're going to see Matthews and Nylander and Marner probably yip at each other a little bit on the ice.
And they're going to be yipping at somebody else too, the guy behind the bench.
Well, they will, but my point being is, do you remember a couple years ago where in now, because of the microphones, because of the camera so close on everyone, Kessel was telling Phaneuf to shut his effing mouth. I think there was like a gif of that or whatever on the ice. That happens all the time. It just, because those two were so polarizing, they thought, oh, there's the rift, there's a wedge in the room, the leadership, blah, blah, blah. All this nonsense started to come out where that's going to happen. And Babcock even said it as much today. There was some banter on the bench last night. I don't mind it. It keeps the guys' competitive juices up. We're going to see that. There is going to be a time where Austin Matthews is going to yell at his line mates and say, or is, you know, you got to find me there. I'm open. That happens all the time. We just haven't seen it yet. And it's well, a lot of that is hidden behind closed doors.
So again, explain the limitations in terms of going public. When is it okay for someone to go public?
If you're going to go public, you describe everyone as a group, and then you throw yourself in on the back end of it. We're just not good enough right now as a group. Me too. I got to be better. That's how you just group everything together. Behind closed doors, you say things that people like you, Brian, are not privy to.
Wow, that was O-Dog an absolute hammer.
O-Dog's on fire today.
Wait till we hit the break, because there will be a behind closed doors meeting, exactly. Radio style, that this guy's never seen before.
We were talking about it, how O, I'm sorry, Hayes and Steph would bully us behind closed doors.
Jeff and JB aren't paying attention today.
We've been given the riot act behind closed doors. See, there you go. And we outed you.
You're right.
We came out today and said, you know what?
You're right.
Our host and our producer has to be better.
You're right.
We called them
out. It happens. I'm just saying, listen, I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think the team's going to crumble because of this.
No.
And I kind of appreciate the honesty. I think what he said is right.
He's not wrong.
All he said was exactly. And Ray, you said earlier.
Anybody out.
No, but what you said earlier about, you know, if a goalie gives up a 60-foot muffin, we would have won the game. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The hell's the matter with saying that?
But I'm never going to say that publicly because I got to do my own job. I can't be worried about him. Yeah. I can't. What does it help for me to point out something that is so obvious to everybody else to say, yeah, see, look, and then you know how the way this works because, oh, now there's a problem, and now Freddie hates the power play, and mm-hmm. he doesn't hate the power play. He's just sour that the thing is muddling along, and they give up another 2-on-1. That's it. But it will never end as simply as that.
Yeah.
And he honestly, when you're frustrated, it's probably the best to just not say much. But it's already out, and now...
Nothing you can do now.
Yeah.
You can't do anything about it now. I wouldn't recommend it being a regular occurrence, just for the simple fact that if the shoe's going to go on the other foot at some time, and you don't want somebody critiquing his play either, and then it just never stops.
Well, on top of all this, let's wait and see if Morgan Riley's even going to play tomorrow night. You take your number one defenseman out of the lineup, and Ottawa is what they are, but they've owned the Leafs for the past couple of years. So it's not like you're walking into a situation tomorrow night where you can guarantee anything.
No, you can't. I mean, we said right before the break, or at least I did, man, if Toronto just plays, they're going to win against Ottawa. And then they didn't. They gifted that one away, too. It's obviously been a little bit of an uneasy time for them, for sure. Noodles and I were in Ottawa last night, and talk about a place with a little bit of problems going on.
Oh,
Holy smokes.
Just a
gotcha. They pulled the goalie last night. They had four guys on the ice.
I know. For like 25 seconds.
And then they got one more on there, so they had five, but you still don't have a goal. It's completely discombobulated is what it looks like.
And until you dive into the numbers, they're second periods. Ray, I think you said the stat, 30, they're outshot. Their goal differential is like 29 now after yesterday.
Minus
29 in the second period.
They're like even in the first and third.
Yeah, they played decent. The first they had a little bit of rust, but it was all right. And the third they had a push, but second period, and you have to give credit. St. Louis, I think, is a really good team. I like that back end of the Blues. Like that Pareko, and Pietrangelo. Ray, I think you said at the start of the year you had Petro at pretty high on your list as far as...
Yeah, I had him just outside the top 10.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's an awesome player.
He is really, really good. And now the only issue is they got to clean it up in net. Carter Hutton's been running the table right now, but they're going to need Jake Allen to sort it out.
Yeah, they just need to wait till February.
Exactly.
I was doing something, in the prep for the game in case he was playing. His save percentage in January in his career is like 860.
So just give him January's off.
Just tell him to go home, go on vacation, do something, but don't go in the net.
Well, that's Freddie Anderson in October.
Yep.
His last two Octobers.
Tell him to come in late.
Yeah.
Well, if we're going to be a team, let's just get it out in the open. Brian, if we're going to get to where we want to be as a show, you got to be better than you are today, buddy. Ray, thank you for this.
Enjoy your weekend, Jeff. Enjoy your weekend, Jamie. And Brian, do better next week, would you?
Thank you, Ray. I appreciate the candor. There's Ray Ferraro on Overdrive. Brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca. Got to keep it in-house.
Yeah.
How could you possibly not keep it in-house?
Doors.
Imagine Rod Smith going on SportsCenter saying, oof, they have a tough show there for Kara. We got to get better here.
That would actually be hysterical.
It wouldn't be.
Catch you off guard, but if everything cleared out and like everything was all good, like, nothing bubbled
like
over.
Just opposite.
A doozy from Kara. Yeah. We've had to regroup here.
A bit choppy there from Kara at 5 o'clock.
Opposite George. Like you just come out guns blazing. Like
welcome
just
to Sports Center. But before we continue, just one quick comment. What the hell was that at 5 p.m.?
What was
Natasha
going on?
Gets on at 1 a.m. What the hell was Rod Smith doing today? What a jerk.
Or start giving it to Dutchie and Jan. It can trickle down pretty quick. And then
you wouldn't want that.
Then you've got problems behind the scenes.
Yep. The age-old problems behind the scenes routine. Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow night.
That'll be
fine. Yes, guy.
We got to get Mark Masters on at some point because of what happened yesterday with Jonas and
I want to hear that sound again.
That's we want to play the whole thing. Play the whole thing.
Well, we're not going to play right now, but Marcellus Wiley will join us in about 15 minutes. We'll get you more of an update on Tom Brady and his status going into the weekend, the Eagles' chances at home against Minnesota, and some news out of Pittsburgh about how big of a gong show the Steelers are. You guys, as former athletes, are not going to believe this routine by Le'Veon Bell last Saturday prior to the divisional game.
At night or during the day?
During the day. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day on Friday. So today, call with the names of all five players and you can win a pair of lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on the Colorado Avalanche. That's what we're giving away today. Leafs Avs, January 22nd at the ACC. The theme this week, former Leafs who have played for the Quebec Nordiques. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is
Sylvain Lefebvre.
He's already been used.
Wendell Clark.
Already been used.
John Kordick.
Todd Warner.
I don't know if we used Todd Warner. Was he a Quebec Nordique?
Drafted.
Yeah, I guess we did. John Kordick.
He was a
tough as nails.
Holy smokes.
The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZephyrEpic.com. Phone lines are open 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. First one in with all five players named. John Kordick.
He was scary. I played against his brother Dan, who was a big monster too. It's just unfortunate because John obviously passed away at a young age and had some issues, but tough as nails.
The definition of 1980s grit. Hockey.
Yeah. Kordick.
Western boy, fighting all the time.
Loving fighting. Loving.
Was it Kordick and Chris Nyland who used to have the battles?
Well, they were both in Montreal, I think, at the same time at one point.
Yeah, you're right.
And Chris Nyland. Man, Nyland would fight. Like, he had 25, 27 fights a year, probably more than that. He's not the biggest guy, but Knuckles could throw.
Knuckles.
He's from Boston, and he was hated in Boston.
Well, I think he married into some
Whitey Bulger's, like, stepdaughter.
Yeah.
Like, Whitey Bulger's
mafia,
stepdaughter was who he married. And I'm pretty sure the story goes, like,
he sat him down, right?
Yeah. Like, outside the Boston Garden, I think it was Boston Garden, like, he was sitting out there with a couple of guys that were not small. And something happened between Nyland and his wife or whatever.
Yeah.
And Whitey gave him the, let's go walk around the corner routine.
Yeah, go for a walk.
And said, if you don't start behaving.
Yeah.
You know how terrifying that would be? Like, we talk about getting in fights in bars or getting in fights in on the ice or whatever. Whitey Bulger, like one of the most notorious gangsters of the 20th century, pulls you aside in between the rink and the team bus.
Wow.
Imagine being a teammate.
That's
you're on the
Whitey
bus.
Whitey Bulger there?
Yeah. He was the guy that was hiding out in California for years, and they just found him like a couple of years ago. Johnny Depp played him in a movie recently.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay. It wasn't great, but it was okay.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of that movie.
I remember that movie, too.
Black Mass.
Yes.
Black Mass.
Good movie. I liked it.
Yeah, it was a pretty good movie. So we're not going to play yesterday's clip of you going at Masters. It with Jonas and what? Mark Masters. And if you want to find it, you can follow us on Instagram.
It's on our Instagram account.
Yeah, at TSN1050 on Instagram. You can follow the station's Instagram account.
Maybe Overdrive can tweet it out, too, like our Twitter link.
It's already out there. It's on Twitter as well. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, find it all. Yeah. But I think Jonas will be in here next Friday for you, Noodles, and we're going to try to get Masters in here.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a trivia showdown on the show.
What kind of trivia, though? That's the thing.
Everything you can ask for. Sports, politics, geography, history.
Why don't we just get Masters in here when Noodles is away next week?
That's what he just said.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to go Freddie Anderson on you, dude.
You're going to have to call him out.
I'm going to go Freddie Anderson.
You need guys to be a lot better on this show.
I literally just said next week.
I think you're reading the lineup because he said, we're going to have Masters on next week, Noodles, when you're away next Thursday and Friday.
You are Jake Gardner on a 2-on-1.
I thought you said Monday, and I'm thinking, why don't we do it when Noodles is away?
That's the plan.
Is he going to be in studio?
Well, we're going to see because the Leafs are in Dallas the night before. So if he flies home in time and he can get in here, then we'll do it.
I worry that Dallas flight, I think, leaves. I think I called a game in Dallas and tried to make it back for Overdrive. I think it's...
Dude, there's got to be a morning flight from
there
Dallas.
There is, but you're losing 2 hours coming this way. That's the problem. But I think it's a 10 a.m. direct flight.
No, he said he can make it. Hunt already talked to him. He'll land at 3. He doesn't have to be here right at 4. We'll do it at
That's
6
what
o'clock
I'm saying.
Or whatever.
He'll have to come in like a couple hours later because I remember having to connect out of Dallas to get back here on time because the direct flight didn't land me in time.
Yeah, so hopefully it's going to work out. It sounds as if it will work out as long as there aren't any unforeseen delays. We'll get Masters in here. Jonas will be in here, and we'll have a bit of a trivia off. And
the Jonas laugh was timed perfect yesterday. I will say Mulls was on his game like that.
Well, we threw in a Spezza laugh.
Oh, is that what it was? I was wondering where the extra laugh came from.
Yeah, it's the Spezza laugh.
So from now on,
there's the Jonas.
Whenever you say something funny on this show,
I can't listen to that.
I love it. One more time.
I can't listen to it. Hey, that's like funny. A once off. Every once in a while, we can maybe go to the tape with Spezza.
You imagine like tossing that laugh out in bar play? Like that is basically pepper spraying someone in the face.
It is.
That is like, chick repellent.
That is not a closer. That's an opener. Yeah, that's come on in, we're open.
Open the door.
That's pepper spraying someone right in the face.
It really is.
That's a tough start
I've noticed
to the
that
conversation.
Recently, there's a lot of broadcasters using the oh my goodness, too. Like
we added a couple to the list yesterday. We missed out. I should have played it on Monday. Tony Romo had a great one from last weekend.
I was sent that on Twitter.
And then you sent us the Chris Dunn dunk when he fell on his face.
I know. He was out, man.
And there was a very quality, oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
Oh no.
With the oh no follow-up. All right, Marcellus Wiley will join us. What is up with Tom Brady? He showed up like Costanza before his hand modeling routine at his press conference today. He had two gloves on.
Red gloves.
I don't know what the second glove was for. I don't know why he needed two. Why was that necessary? Like his throwing hand, we know that's where the injury is. He had to wear one on his left hand too. But different reports out there that he's got stitches on his hand, but he was bleeding profusely when it happened. The guy who accidentally ran into him is locked up in a basement somewhere in Boston. We'll probably never see or hear from him again.
Whitey Bulger was going to have a conversation.
Whitey Bulger got his hands on him. Belichick led him to Whitey's house. Yeah. So we'll get Marcellus Wiley on here, get his take on what this means for the Pats taking on the Jags, Philly taking on the Vikings, and we'll tell you about the story out of Pittsburgh about Le'Veon Bell the day before last weekend's big game against the Jags. Marcellus Wiley checks in next. Raptors back in action tonight. The Spurs in town. Matt Bonner will join us in about 20 minutes. The Red Rocket himself began his career here in Toronto. Only played for two teams. Had a long career. Toronto and San Antonio. Multiple rings in San Antonio.
He got me a Timmy D autographed jersey.
You asked him for that?
Yeah.
How did you pull that move off?
Don't worry about it. It's called connections within the pro athlete community.
So people are buzzing about this Brady situation where he showed up to his presser today with two gloves on. And I'm not sure what it's supposed to mean. I'm not sure what kind of effect it's going to have on him on Sunday, but nobody's buying it. Like, people are texting in, emailing in, tweeting in. They're like, I don't buy anything Brady, Belichick, or the Pats are selling me, because all they do is lie and misinform and try to be shady.
I'm telling you, Brady or Belichick went right to him and said, put some oven mitts on and go out there.
Throw these guys off.
Yeah, for sure.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is longtime NFLer or NFL analyst Marcellus Wiley. Are you buying this Brady glove routine and what's up with his hand?
No, absolutely not. You guys nailed it when you talk about what they do in the Patriot way. Less is more. So in this situation, more is less. And they're trying to really pour it on thick in terms of how injured his hand is. We're getting footage at practice of the guy with the oven mitts. We're seeing so much. We're hearing so much. And the Patriot way basically says the opposite is occurring. So you know that Tom Brady, obviously, I think he was affected. He was hit in the practice procedure, and he probably had the same reaction anyone would have with a jammed finger or hand. Ouch. But then after x-rays, after doing the evaluation, they realized, oh, you're just fine. More scared than anything. But since that was already reported, since that was already out there, let's run with it. And let's not forget that this is a mental warfare procedure by Belichick to try and undermine some of the confidence that the Jacksonville Jaguars have coming in, defensively especially. So I agree with you guys. I just think this is a circus that's starting to brew just because they know there's something there, but not nearly to the tune of what everyone is expecting.
What's your gut telling you about the game? I usually have a gut feeling about a sporting event, mostly hockey, which I cover. But as far as this game, the Pats and the Jags, what is your gut instinct telling you the result's going to be?
Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville's built to beat this team. And I don't know if they can do it, because it takes more than just your construction and just your talent to win a football game, especially in the AFC Championship game. But they can run the football, and they can run the football effectively. They're the number one rush team in the NFL. You have to make sure that you win the turnover battle, and Blake Bortles has been good in terms of keeping the ball in possession. And then last, but you got to get to Tom Brady with four. Not blitzing, just with the four guys up front, they can do that. They did that second best in the NFL. So they're built to beat the Patriots. But the problem is, beyond all those X's and O's, it's the confidence. It's what Tom Brady exerts every single week, especially in championship moments. And I don't trust Blake Bortles, who has the worst win percentage of any NFL quarterback ever to make it to the conference championship, to out-duel Tom Brady in these moments. So I think the Jacksonville defense shows up, but Tom Brady's going to do enough offensively to beat the challenge offensive tackle Blake Bortles. And I see the Patriots winning.
With Marcellus Wiley, for about the 15th year in a row, the New England Patriots taking up all of the oxygen, all of the front page material.
Right.
And we got another game, right? We got Eagles playing the Vikings, and no one seems to really be buzzing about that. But you got the Eagles at home again as an underdog. They're going to keep playing that up. And their defense was brilliant last week, especially in the second half. And the Vikings are a feel-good team, but they're legit. They're a really quality team. What's your read on what's going to happen in that game?
Yeah, this is going to be a good one because of the defenses and how they're going to play back and forth. And so if you're into seeing a ton of points on the board, probably not your game of choice. That's why New England is sucking all the oxygen out the room. That said, Mike Zimmer and that Minnesota defense, only once this year they gave up a rushing attack over 100 yards. Only once this year a receiver was able to get over 100 yards. The most scrimmage yards someone ever got this year was 118. Just insane defense. But it's because of their fundamentals, their discipline, and they make tackles. But Philadelphia is feeling good about themselves defensively, but offensively, they can't hide what has happened since Carson Wentz has gone down to injury. they don't score as much. Nick Foles took an offense that was averaging 31 points a game. Now they're down to 17. You're going to play Minnesota. That's a 17 points per game average against other teams not named Minnesota. Now you're going to play that defense. You may not even score 10. And if that occurs in the championship moment, I don't see how they can win. I don't think they can put up enough points. So even though they're at home, I'm predicting Minnesota to win.
With Marcellus Wiley. So Mike Tomlin has been taking a lot of heat since last Sunday about how unprepared his team looked, how they were looking past the Jags, how they were focused on the Pats and focused on the offseason and what they were going to do with their contracts and making names for themselves. And now a report comes out of Pittsburgh today that on Saturday during the walkthrough, Le'Veon Bell barely got there. He showed up with like 5 minutes left in the walkthrough.
That's crazy, man.
That is, I mean, I'm very surprised by that, even though it is Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers have been a bit relaxed. And I guess there's reports that even a coach showed up late for that. But with that information now going public, how does it make you feel about Tomlin and the way the Steelers were prepared last weekend?
Yeah, it makes me feel worse about Le'Veon Bell than it does Mike Tomlin. Because, look, you're in that locker room and it's impossible to control 53 guys, especially when one is dealing with a contract situation like he is, and he wants to be passive-aggressive and show up late just to kind of send another subtle message. Look, Adalius Thomas, a former New England Patriot, felt the wrath of Bill Belichick for being late before. So it even happens with the New England Patriots. We know the consequences are different with New England, but let's say the Le'Veon Bell of New England was late to a walkthrough. What would Belichick do in that moment?
Right.
That's an interesting conversation. So I don't want to put this on Tomlin's lap necessarily, but it's a bad look. It's a big deal. That's our last mental opportunity to go out there and check every box in terms of our game plan. And you take that moment to send a message or to care not about our preparation. Full disclosure, though, I've been on a team, Buffalo Bills, approaching a playoff game, and a couple guys were hungover and missed the entire walkthrough. Still traveled with us and played in the game. Now, my playoff record is 0-3. So there's a correlation, maybe some would say, between the lack of discipline in those moments and us winning those games. So Tomlin has to tighten up the boat, but at the same time, Le'Veon Bell, be a little more professional.
Did you not say to those guys, why in the hell did you feel the need to be hungover today? Like, of all the days you got, like I used to tell my teammates, of all the days, you picked today to be hungover. I don't get it.
Yeah, that is wild. I mean, look, some guys always fire back, hey, this is how I normally act on any other situation in game day, so why not this one? But we retorted by saying, look, man, I don't care what you normally have to do. You got to adjust based on circumstance. So the guys were Teflon in terms of what you could really do in terms of retribution. So I think Le'Veon Bell knows that as well, and he's like, I'm going to have my way because I got the sway. That's how the game goes.
Great stuff, Marcellus. Enjoy it this weekend. This time next week, we'll be teeing up the Super Bowl. We look forward to it.
Oh, I look forward to it, man. I'll talk to you guys next week. Let's do it.
There's Marcellus Wiley joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Lease the fully loaded 2018 Toyota Corolla LE for zero down and only $127 plus tax biweekly at Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland. Matt Bonner teeing up the Rapsburs tonight. Bobby Mack, round two. Looking back on Freddie Anderson's comments in the Leaf game last night, teeing up Leaf sense tomorrow night.
Ever since I told you to pick it up a little bit, you've been great.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's why you call someone out on the air.